This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Bernstein, for the very warm introduction. It's a real honor to be here in Cape Town. You know, they say if you have to be in the Gullus, if you have to be in exile, Cape Town is not a bad place to be. I like to start my shiurim by saying, fasten your seatbelts. And people wonder, is that just a form of expression? Is that just a way of grabbing people's attention? No. There's a halachic reason why perhaps you should start a shiur by saying fasten your seatbelts. Let me explain. You know, when we make brichas hamazon with three people, we have a mezuzah, we don't just say, okay, one guy starts the brichas hamazon and the other people listen, or they say amen. He says, Rabbi Yisai Nevarech, he makes an announcement, he makes a declaration. We're about to do something big. Something big is about to happen. Or let's say you all come to shul for Maariv, for Shacharis. We don't just start davening. The Chazan makes an announcement. Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevoirach. We are now about to bless Hashem. And the people, we respond, yeah, we're in. The Chazan says, hey, you're in? And we say, yeah, we're in. Baruch Hashem Baruch Leilavai. You're about to make Kiddush. You don't just say Kiddush. You say, Savri, wake up. You're listening? Everyone attentive? Savri, are you thinking? Are you listening? And everyone gives their attention. Why do we do that? The reason is because when you're about to embark upon a davar shebikdusha, a holy matter, you can't just start. You need an oral declaration that what you're about to do is something epic. So we say, Rabbi Yisai Nevarech, we say, Savri Maranam, we say, Baruch Hu Hashem Amvarech. But you know, the greatest mitzvah in the Torah is Talmud Torah, is learning. You know that? We have 613 mitzvahs, but there's one mitzvah that's on the highest pedestal, that actually is so great that one word of Torah is the equivalency of all 613 mitzvahs. That's why there are actually halachos, that if you're middle of learning and someone needs a favor, you can only interrupt if you're the only person who could do it. Otherwise, Talmud Torah is the most important mitzvah. So we need to start our learning. We can't just start. We need to make an announcement. Friends, you're ready to do something very big? So I like to say, fasten your seatbelts, especially for this topic, because this is such an important and fundamental topic that even though I'm receiving a phone call, tell them I'm not available, because this is a very important topic. Okay. I want to talk about God's relationship with the Jewish people. I had many ideas of what to speak about, and Rabbi Gilbert suggested, Rabbi, go with this topic. This is something everybody needs to hear. What is God's relationship with the Jewish people? Well, let's begin with another topic. We're all awaiting the redemption. We're all awaiting Mashiach. So let's discuss. Does anybody know what city will the Mashiach reveal himself in? I would vote for Cape Town, you know? Cape Town? Or what are the options? Borough Park? New York?
Jordan.
Brooklyn?
Switzerland?
Manchester. Jerusalem? What? Manchester! No, we still haven't hit the city of the revelation of the Mashiach. The Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah tells us that the Shechina, upon the destruction of the temple, made 10 different stops. The final stop of the divine presence upon the destruction of the temple was Tiberia. And then the Gemara says, "Ubisham asidim ligael," that God and the Messiah is destined to be revealed in the city in the north of Israel, Tiberia. The Mashiach will reveal itself in Tiberia. Isn't that interesting? This is something that most people are not aware of. Here it is, we have many holy cities in Israel. They're actually, you know, you like the game reserve, you like Kruger Park, we have the Big Five, right? But in Israel, we have four holy cities. We have Jerusalem, we have Hebron, we have Tzfas, we have Tiberia. And of all these four cities, the Gemara says, the Mashiach will reveal itself in Tiberia. Why Tiberia? What is special? What is significant about the city of Tiberia? That this is the city that Mashiach will reveal itself in. Actually, what's interesting is, if you look in the Zohar says that Mashiach will reveal itself in the Galil. in the Galilee. So the Chidah asks that somewhat of a contradiction to the Gemara. The Gemara identifies Tiberia, and the Zohar says the Galil, and the Chidah says, no, it's not a contradiction. The Zohar is just giving the general region. Galil is the general region. But the Gemara is identifying precisely the Mashiach will reveal itself in Tiberia. Why in the city of Tiberia? So I want to share with you an epic dispute regarding the relationship of God with the Jewish people. What is God's relationship with us? Is God our king? Is God our father? Is God our teacher? So the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is, it depends. It depends how we act. When we do the will of God, then we are considered and called the children of Hashem. However, but if we're if we do not fulfill the will of God, then we are no longer His children, we are called His servants, His abadim. I personally would like to use the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda with my own children. Because let's say I take my kids shopping, which is always a big mistake. So you take them to a store. If they behave, then people want to know, who are these kids? Say, these kids? These are my children. They're my biological children. I groom them. I raise them. They're mine. And let's say the kids don't behave. And people ask, who are these kids? You say, I don't know. Their mother asked me to watch them for the day. I don't know who they are. I'm doing a nice lady a favor by watching them, but I have no relationship with them. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. God's relationship with the Jewish people is conditional. We fulfill the will of God, then we are His children. If we do not fulfill the will of God, we are His servants. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Comes Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir amazingly invokes and marshals four different psukim, four different verses in Tanakh to demonstrate that no matter what we do, no matter how foolish we are, no matter how disloyal we are, even if we serve idols, we are not only called the children of God, we are called the beloved, dear, precious children of God. Rabbi Meir formulates this opinion by saying, irrespective of our behavior, we are always considered the children of Hashem. So Rabbi Yehuda says our relationship with God is conditional, Rabbi Meir says it's unconditional. Does anybody know? When there's a machlokes, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, when there's a dispute in the Gemara between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, who do we pass in life? Who do we follow? In accordance with whose opinion is the halacha established? Actually, an amazing idea found in Erevin is that we never paskin like Rabbi Meir. Do you know the halacha is never in accordance with Rabbi Meir? And the reason is, says the Gemara in Erevin, mivnei shela yardu chachamim l'soif dakdoi, because he's so deep, he's so profound, we don't know what the man is talking about. We don't understand him. He's so complex and sophisticated and deep. We can't wrap our minds around the logic of Rabbi Meir, and therefore there's a rule in Shas that we never paskin in accordance with Rabbi Meir. Ever. But there's one exception. There's one exception to this rule. There's one time and chance that we break the rule, that we don't understand Rabbi Meir's opinion, and we follow and go in accordance with Rabbi Meir, and that is regarding God's relationship with the Jewish people. This is the one exception and chance. Where even though ordinarily, in the dozens and dozens of disputes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and in general, whenever Rabbi Meir offers his opinion, we never follow his opinion. In this isolated case, we paskin like Rabbi Meir, that we are always considered the beloved children of Hashem. Why? Why is this the exception? So one of the classic medieval scholars, the Rashba, one of the Rishonim, says the reason why this is the only exception is because Rabbi Meir invokes four psukim to support and substantiate his opinion that we are always considered the beloved children of Hashem. So even though ordinarily we don't follow his ruling, when it comes to this issue, we follow the ruling of Rabbi Meir. But there are a number of other reasons why this is the exception to the rule. I'm going to give you what we call a lumdish reason why we follow Rabbi Meir. Did you ever hear the expression lumdus? Did you ever hear that word lumdus? Lamdus is a Yiddish word that is used to describe the Talmudic process of analysis. So, you know, sometimes you'll look or study a certain issue and you'll apply certain rationale or certain reasoning, but the Talmud, the Gemara, actually has the clearest and most compelling system of logic. The Gemara's system of logic is called Lamdus. And let me share with you a very interesting lamdas. Why, when it comes to Machlokes, Rav Meir, and Rav Yehuda, regarding our relationship with Hashem, we paskin like Rav Meir? Do you remember, we invoked before, we cited before the Gemara in Eretz. Why do we typically never follow Rav Meir? Because we don't really fully understand the logic of Rav Meir. So there's a great Mekubal named Rav Yaakov Shealtiel Ninyon. He wrote a book called the Emes Liyakov. And he says, if the reason why we don't follow Rav Meir's ruling is because the rabbis cannot plumb the depth of Rav Meir's rationale, but this kind of situation is different. Because now we're talking about God's relationship with the Jewish people. God certainly understands the depth of the logic of Rav Meir. So when it comes to a typical halachic dispute, do we kosher or treif, permitted or prohibited? We can't follow Rav Meir because it's relevant to us and we don't understand the full logic of Rav Meir's rationale. But when it comes to God's relationship with the Jewish people, how God views us, this is a matter relevant to Hashem. Hashem certainly understands the logic of Rav Meir. So therefore, this is the one exception to the rule. Where even though ordinarily we don't follow Rav Meir's opinion, but when it comes to God's relationship with us, we rule in accordance with Rav Meir that we are always considered the beloved children of Hashem. Here's another reason why we follow Rav Meir. Does anybody know Rav Meir in Shas has a certain name? He's always referred to as the first Tana. Do you remember the expression that's used when we refer to Rav Meir in the Gemara? It's called the Tana Kama. The Tana Kama. The first Tana invoked in the Mishnah. And unusually, when it comes to this dispute, are we God's beloved children always? Or is our relationship with God conditional? This is the one exception where Rav Meir's opinion is brought second. First, the Gemara quotes Rav Yehuda's opinion. Then the Gemara quotes Rav Meir's opinion, as if to give Rav Meir the final word, that the halacha is in accordance with Rabbi Meir, that we are always considered the beloved children of Hashem. So it's very interesting that this is the one exception to the rule, that we are always the beloved children of Hashem. You know, in Parshas Lech Lecha, when Avraham Avinu comes to the scene, what's the first thing that God tells Avraham Avinu? Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha, go, go. God speaks directly to Avraham. Did you ever wonder, why is God speaking to Avraham? Who is Avraham? Why is this man getting prophecy? Is he a righteous person? Does the Chumash say Avraham was a tzaddik, like it said by Noach? Nope. Does the Pasuk say that Avraham was a tamim, like it says by Noach? No. Does the Pasuk say that Avraham walked with God? No. Did you ever wonder, why is it that when Noach is introduced in the Torah, in Parshas Noach, we have a whole resume for Noach? Noach finds favor in the eyes of God. Noach is a tzaddik. Noach walks with God. He's a tamim. We have a whole impressive resume of all of Noach's credentials. So now we understand why, when God is destroying the whole world, He's saving Noach. But then we come to Parshas Lech Lecha, and Avraham Avinu is introduced. And there are a lot of good things the Torah could have said about Avraham Avinu. The Torah could have said that Avraham Avinu was the greatest Makarev, the greatest individual who brought other people close to Hashem. The Torah could have said that Avraham Avinu was the greatest Goy Mel Chesed, the greatest benefactor in history. That Avraham Avinu had tens of thousands of followers. What does the Torah say about Avraham Avinu? don't know one thing about this man. Why is God speaking to Avram and not Terach and not Nachar and not Haran? Why did the Torah say that Avram jumped into the fire for God and that's why God is speaking to him? Not one word is said about Avram. Isn't that bizarre? When it comes to Noach, we have a whole laundry list of all the credentials of Noach, and when it comes to Avram, not one word is said? Says the Maharal, this is to teach us the most important lesson in the Torah. You ready for this? If I were to ask you, what is the central principle of the entire Torah? That's probably an important question, right? It's probably worthwhile to know. What is the corner? We have the 613 mitzvahs, 10 commandments. But is there a cornerstone principle that the entire Torah is predicated on? What I'm about to say is not politically correct. And I don't care, because I get to go back to New York after this. So if you don't like it, maybe I won't come back to Cape Town for another 6 years. But at least I'll share with you what the cornerstone principle of the Torah is. The cornerstone principle of the Torah is that only the Jewish people are the beloved children of Hashem to the exclusion of the rest of mankind. That is the cornerstone principle that the entire Torah is based on. Many of the mitzvahs in the Torah are only possible because we are the children of Hashem. For instance, Shabbos is the Shabbos project. You know, only the Jewish people are allowed to keep Shabbos. The nations of the world, it's not only they weren't given Shabbos, they're not authorized to observe the Shabbos. Why are they not authorized to observe the Shabbos? You know that Shabbos is like the scepter of the king. God himself rests on Shabbos. Therefore, none of his subjects can touch his scepter. There's only one person in the kingdom who dares pick up the scepter of the king without consequence. And that's the prince. That's the king's son. We are only given Shabbos because we are Hashem's beloved children. We are only given tefillin because we are God's beloved children. We are only given sukkah because we are God's beloved children. We are only given lulav because we are only given tzitzis. So many of the mitzvahs of the Torah are predicated on the fact that we are the beloved children of Hashem. Now, at what point in time did God select us to be His beloved children, His beloved nation? He selected us with the choice of Abraham. When God said to Abraham, go to Israel, lech lecha, God was not only speaking to Abraham, He was selecting the entirety, the history and the destiny of the Jewish people. He was selecting Abraham, He was selecting me, and He was selecting you. Says the Maharal of Prague, if the Torah would write, Abraham, hayat tzadik, hayabal chesed, hayamakar b'chaykim. And the Torah would have given us the resume of Abraham. You may have mistakenly thought, do you know why God selected Abraham? Because of! And what would happen 2,000 years later, in 2024, where perhaps, what if we're not righteous? What if we're not wholesome? What if we're not walking with God? What if we don't believe in Him? So does that mean God no longer has that loving relationship with the Jewish people? So God went out of His way not to say one word about Abraham to teach us. Do you know why God selected Abraham and you and me? Because He did. It's unconditional. It's not dependent on anything. He just loves us. You know, I once said to my son, Naftali, you know why Daddy loves you? I said, why? I said, because I do. She said, Daddy, that doesn't make any sense. I said, that's right. It doesn't make sense why you love your child. You just love your child. It's a reality of existence. God does not love the Jewish people because of, He just does. That is the cornerstone principle of the Torah. And therefore, when Abraham Avinu comes to the scene, the Torah goes out of its way not to say one good word about the man, even though there's a lot to say. But the Torah is teaching us that the selection of the Jewish people was unconditional. What do we learn in Pirkei Avos? There are two kinds of loves. If you love someone because of, then when that condition is no longer existing, the love ceases. But when you love someone unconditionally, the love lasts forever. God's love for the Jewish people is unconditional. It's beinkach ubeinkach mikraven banu. Irrespective of our behavior, His love for us is a reality of existence. The Chida writes, the Chida, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai, one of the great achroinim of the Sephardic world. Chida says the cornerstone principle of the whole Torah is God's unconditional love of the Jewish people, and that we, and only we, are the beloved children of Hashem. Yes, all of mankind are the handiwork of God. God created all man in His image, but only we are the beloved children of Hashem. That is the principle upon which the entire Torah is predicated. Do you know that we can only do teshuvah because we're the beloved children of Hashem? You know the concept of repentance. Person does a sin, so they want to erase it. They want to cleanse themselves. How does that phenomenon operate? What's the mechanics of tshuva? Says the Chida, mechanics of tshuva are very simple. If you insult a king, could a king say, "It's okay, I'm moichel, no problem"? What's the halacha? Can a king overlook his insult? The Gemara says no. Melech shemachal al kevoidai. Ein kevoidai machal. A king that overlooks his honor is not overlooked. There's no mechila. A king cannot offer mechila. Therefore, the Chida writes, the gift of repentance was not given to mankind. The gift of repentance was only given to the Jewish people. Because our relationship with God is, He's not just our king. He's our father. And av shemachal al kevoida, your father who overlooks his honor, kevoida machal, his honor is overlooked. So almost all the gifts of the Torah are given to us only because we and only we are the beloved children of Hashem. So, friends, here's the problem. The day is going to come, and God's going to say, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. God's going to say, let's go. Mashiach, time to redeem the Jewish people. Whether they're in Flatbush, or Borough Park, or Cape Town, or Johannesburg, everyone to the land of Israel. And the nations of the world are going to say, hey God, why? Why do they deserve it? Are they really better than we are? Are they really more deserving than us? So God's going to say, well, they're my beloved children. So whether they deserve it or not, but my relationship with them is, they're my children. So they are going to get it, whether you like it or not. So you know what the nations of the world are going to say? They're going to say, they're your beloved children. That's not what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the relationship of the Jewish people with God is conditional. It depends how they act. And they don't look like they're really doing your will, God. So we would follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that your relationship with them is, if they do your will, they're your children. And if they don't do your will, they're your servants. And in that case, they're no better than we are. Actually, you know, there's a halachic principle that if you're a muchzak, you know, the word muchzak means if the item is in your presumptive domain, you could exercise the right to say, you don't have the right to take it away from me. I follow this opinion, even though it's not a normative opinion. So in the end of days, when God will want to redeem the Jewish people, the nations of the world are going to say, look, the Jewish people, they're living in our countries, we're the muhsab, we have the presumptive status of holding on to them, we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore they are not considered your beloved children. So here's what's going to happen. God's going to have to redeem us in a place where the halacha is clear that we are always the beloved children of Hashem. Where is that special makom, that special place? That in this city, there's no question that the halacha states, in this place, no matter what you say elsewhere, we are always the beloved children of Hashem. That is the city where the rabbi of that city who's buried in that city, is Rebbe Meir, who holds we are always the beloved children of Hashem. Does anybody know what city in the land of Israel is Rebbe Meir buried in? He's buried in Tiberia. He was the rabbi of Tiberia. He's the Mara D'Asra of Tiberia. Wherever else he may go in the world, maybe it's up to debate who the halacha is in accordance with. But there's one unique and special place in the world that the halacha certainly follows the ruling of Rav Meir that we are always the beloved children, and that is the city of Tiberia. So God will ensure the Mashiach will reveal himself in the city of Tiberia, because there it will be undisputable that we can be redeemed, and there's nothing anyone could say to challenge that, because in the city of Tiberia, the halacha is certainly in accordance with Rebbe Meir Baal Hanes. In fact, the sages teach us that Meir is Rosh Tevois, Ruach Apeinu Mashiach Hashem, a reference to the fact that through this opinion of Rebbe Meir, that we are always the beloved children of Hashem, we will merit for the Mashiach to come. You know, the great student of the Arizal, Reb Chaim Vital, reveals most people are buried horizontal, like how else are you supposed to be buried? There's one person in history that's buried standing. Do you know who that is? The great Tana Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir is the only person in history actually buried standing up. And the reason for that is because his worldview and his teaching that we are always the beloved children of Hashem will be the merit that will stand up for the Jewish people until the end of time. This is the cornerstone principle of the whole Torah, that every single Jew is the beloved child of Hashem. And even if we act foolish, and even if we act sinful, there's always accountability, but the love that Hashem has for every Jew and for the Jewish people as a whole is immutable, is eternal. But let me share with you one last idea. Even though we just said the love of Hashem for the Jewish people will never change, it does change. What nusach do they have in here?
Ashkenaz.
Ashkenaz. Excellent. Okay, I already like this place. In nusach Ashkenaz, we say, Ahava Rabba Ahavtanu Hashem. Translate those words. Ahava Rabba Ahavtanu. Most people translate it, Ahava Rabba. With the great love you have loved us, Hashem our God. Rav Shimon Schwab says actually the word Rabba does not mean great. The word Rabba means ever increasing. Ever increasing. Meaning, even though before I came here, if I would have asked you, who does God love more? Me? My parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, the Achroinim, the Rishonim, the Nevi'im. So we would have said, probably God loved the Nevi'im the most, followed by the Tanar, and then the Amorah, and then me, I'm probably last on the totem pole. Probably God loves us the least. After all, we've been in Gullah so long, and we don't hold a candle, we don't stack up compared to the earlier generations. Not only is that not true, it's just the opposite. In every subsequent generation, God's love for us only grows and gets stronger and is magnified. And as much as God loved the Nevi'im, and as much as He loved the Tanaim, His love for the Jewish people today is greater than it ever was in the history of the world. A Jew today in 2024 is more beloved to Hashem than any Jew 100 years ago or 500 years ago. And that means your tefillah, your prayer, your mitzvahs, your ma'asim tovim, your good deeds is more beloved to Hashem than any good deed that any Jew did in the history of the world. Ahava Rabba Atanu, God's love for us is ever increasing, is magnifying. Because as the challenges for the Jewish people grow, and as we become more distant from the great day of the giving of the Torah on Sinai, so So God's appreciation for our loyalty also grows, and his love for us also grows. And therefore, if you thought that it was likely for Mashiach to come 200 years ago or 100 years ago, but for us, will Mashiach come? No, just the opposite. As likely as it was to come 100 years ago, it's much more likely to come today. Because as much as God loved them, he loves us even more. And as the days pass, the arrival is much more likely than it ever was. So we hope to hear the good Vesura and the good tiding of the redemption of the Jewish people. And we hope to always feel Hashem's overwhelming love for each and every Jew. And we hope to feel the Ahava Rabba Havtanu, the magnifying and growing love that Hashem has for us. And Be'ezras Hashem, we will hear very soon this great expression of love with the full and complete redemption of Klal Yisrael. May it come. Sheyavai b'mher v'yaminu. Amen.
Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.